Welcome to AM 570 The Mission's Church of the Week with Ministry Director Steve Hansaridis. Church of the Week recognizes one church's amazing work. It's WMCA's way of supporting and strengthening the faithful proclamation of God's Word, discipleship, and evangelism. Telling the world about the love of Christ is a church's mission. Empowering that church is ours. If you would like more information on Church of the Week, contact Steve at 212-857-9677. That's 212-857-9677. And now your host, Steve Hansaridis.
Good morning and welcome to Church of the Week here on AM 570 The Mission, WMCA. We have with us today Pastor Dave Watson of Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. But before we start speaking with Pastor Dave, I want to give a shout out to a really wonderful Thanksgiving effort that's going on. You know, corporations are aggressively stepping up to fill the void in social needs, health needs. And from Sunday, November 19th to the 21st, Somos Healthcare, a New York City-based nonprofit with more than 650,000 patients in underserved Latino and other diverse communities across New York City, and the Red Apple Group, the owners of Gristiti's, will host a Thanksgiving humanitarian mission to bring much-needed medical care and holiday food supplies to residents of Puerto Rico, overlooked by recovery missions following the devastation of Hurricane Maria. They're really doing some wonderful work there. For 3 days, primary care physicians and specialty doctors from New York City will treat patients at two new Somos-run clinics in Comeria and Naranjito. I hope I pronounced that right. And they'll host Thanksgiving dinners for 10,000 local residents, providing both care and food aid, in direct contrast to Washington's sort of slow action. So the Red Apple Group has made significant resources available to the Somos-run clinics in Puerto Rico, and they'll be making an announcement on their ongoing commitment in the coming weeks. So we commend Somos and the Red Apple Group for the deployment of Thanksgiving humanitarian mission work to Puerto Rico. So, Pastor Dave Watson, we love having you here at WMCA. Pastor Dave is the senior pastor at Calvary Chapel on Staten Island, located at 30 Maple Parkway. Find out more about them on their website, calvarychapelsi.org. But coming up right after Church of the Week, and every Sunday morning on WMCA, is Sunday Worship Live from Calvary Chapel. So don't forget to stay tuned after Church of the Week. So Pastor Dave, welcome again.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always a privilege to be here. We're very, very, very pleased to be part of the WMCA broadcasting family. And it's great to know you, great to have you as a friend. So it's really a privilege just to be here today.
Why don't you start us off with a prayer?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your graciousness to us, your love to us. Lord, we know that the root of thanksgiving is grace, your grace to us. And Lord, we cannot say thank you enough. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, he became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. Lord, as we endeavor to discuss, Lord, matters of church today, we ask your blessing on it. We ask your blessing on each of our listeners, Lord, as they listen to this program. May they be encouraged. May they be challenged. May they find this, Lord, inspirational, because that's after all what we're trying to do. And we pray these things in our Lord's name. Amen.
You just got back from Cuba.
I did. It's hard to believe, but I'm in my third week.
Right.
Third week back.
Third trip as well.
It's
isn't
also
it?
Our third trip. Yes.
Yeah. So what did you discover in Cuba? I so look forward to going there one day.
Well, you know, the beauty of what we are able to do is we go on religious visas, so we do have a lot of freedom to share our faith and share it widely. I will say that, you know, beyond anything else, the Cuban people are wonderful people, and even beyond that, the Cuban church is just astonishing. They are so alive. You know, I tell people all the time, I love God because he does things for me. They just love God. I love God for his money. They just love God. So to be in a worship service, you know, a crowded apartment, because that's their church, with, you know, 45, this, you know, where there are 80 people in a crowded apartment. In our world, when you have more people, you put out chairs. In their world, you take down chairs so there's more room. And just to be with them in worship and see their spirit, see how much they love God, is just inspirational and, for me, life-changing.
Is it hard for them?
Well,
to be Christians,
it's different for them to be Christians.
You're talking about the apartment, so I sense there's something that we may not fully appreciate that's going on there.
Well, I think, you know, the thing to remember is that communism was not a friend of faith,
right?
And socialism was not a friend of faith. Now things have certainly changed for the Cuban church with that in that regard, but still, it's a difficult situation in terms of meeting places, and in many instances in the towns that are there, they were formed without a church in mind, and so the evangelical witness has grown up organically. And boy, Steve, it's alive. I mean, they have house church after house church. There are very few large church buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It's churches in houses all across Cuba, and they are almost all vibrant, almost all doing amazing things for God. So it's in many ways for me, it's just a paradigm shift, you know?
It's almost more like the early church.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to say, it's like
people met in people's houses.
It's very New Testamental.
Yeah.
And they meet generally in the pastor's house. So the pastor's apartment, the pastor's house becomes the church. And you know, that's where worship is held. That's where, particularly the week we were there, you know, the medical clinics were held there.
Were you there after the hurricane?
Yeah, we were. And I would say that really it has recovered amazingly. You know, the Cuban people are very resilient. Their government prides itself in taking care of the main things. And the Cuban people take care of the rest themselves.
Wow.
Very, very much recovered. So we had a great, great time of ministry there. And, you know, you fall in love with the people because of their love for God more than anything else. It's just so vibrant, so real, so authentic. I'm sure they've got problems, but
so do we.
Yeah, they just love God. I wish I didn't have to say it so many times, but when you look in the eyes of somebody who it is not to their advantage to serve Christ, they're not going to get anything out of it, and they're doing it. You know, that's kind of special. That's a unique form of Christianity.
You speak Spanish?
I don't. I take the church I pastor has a large contingent of Spanish speakers. So this trip we took, out of the 15 people, 9 of them spoke Spanish, and they connected immediately. But you can do a lot through a translator.
Sure.
But our folks were very, very, involved in almost every way. And because we have so many Spanish speakers, it's an amazing connection. And, you know, one of the funnest things I had to do was to present the church down there with a new communion set. Kind of symbolic of our relationship as a sister church mm-hmm. with them. You know, we're learning from them. They're learning from us, and this communion set indicates that we're in communion together. So I thought that was special and important.
You have, that's a good segue to your church on Staten Island, because you have a very diverse church. You embrace different cultures.
Very much so. I mean, we're very pleased with that. I mean, I suppose it's unique. We have people from over 25 different countries who worship with us on a given Sunday. We have their flags all around our sanctuary. You know, there are, you know, folks from the West Indies, folks from Europe, you know, folks from Africa, and all getting along as the body of Christ. I like to say we look like the cafeteria at the UN. And Steve, the church suppers are amazing.
I'm sure the food's pretty good too.
I'm a bigger man for it.
How do you? Yeah, I ask this question of pastors quite a bit, but how do you minister to that diversity?
Well, the thing that we focus on is what we have in common, not our differences.
Mm.
So, what we have in common is Jesus Christ, and our personal faith with Him. Are in Him, so we don't spend a lot of time worried about the other things that would be ancillary. We appreciate, respect each other's different cultures, and understand that's the way God designed it. but we appreciate more than anything else each other's faith in Christ and try to build one another up within that faith.
There you go. Folks, if you haven't been to Calvary Chapel on Staten Island, first of all, you know, it's great to get there just by taking the ferry.
Take the ferry and the 46.
exactly. Join them for worship on Sundays at 11:30. And if you can't, you can always hear Pastor Dave live on WMCA here. What is somebody, for those folks who have not ever been to your church, what do they experience when they walk in on a Sunday?
Well, I think they'll experience really dynamic worship. They'll experience a group of people who genuinely love God and who genuinely want to please Him. You'll experience kind of a casual atmosphere. It's not rigid at all. And you'll hear the Word of God. You'll hear a message that applies to today, but as well ministers to, you know, across the border for your life tomorrow and the next day. For instance, this past Sunday, I preached a message. You know, the election was just held. So my title of my message was, Am I a Lousy Christian If I Don't Like the Mayor? And what we really talked was God's view of politics, God's view of elected officials, and how that all works in the scheme of God's plan, and what our responsibility is, you know, to them as elected leaders. What is our role in it all? And I thought it was a good message, Steve, but I'm not sure. But you know,
it was a good message.
We try to speak to current events, but with an understanding that, you know, the text doesn't change. We are a 21st century church, but we have a first century message. Rooted in a book that's very old, mm-hmm. but that is real, that's living, that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that meets the needs of people today. We have a kids program for folks and everything. We have nursery for people who have younger kids and babies. But overall, it's a warm atmosphere where God's word is taught, God's people are encouraged, and everybody's welcomed.
You have a divas program.
Yes, I do. I have divas in my church.
You're one of the few to admit it.
I'm few to admit. we have a few years back, one of our professional women in our church asked if she could start a program for young ladies, 13 to 18, and she came up with the name Divas, which means divinely inspired, victorious, individuals. And they meet on Friday nights at 8 o'clock or 7:30 for dinner with our Champions program, which is for boys that same age. We keep them separate, but it's just a good opportunity for us to mentor the young women, the young men around us, ministering to them and just encouraging them. Some of them, you know, we give them dinner because some of them don't have a place where they get a good dinner. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of them, but
yeah,
some of them.
Yeah.
And beyond that, it's a mentoring relationship, a time of eating and a time
community
of Bible study
and fellowship. Yeah,
really. It's real for them, and it's you know, we've been doing this now for a lot of years with these kids, and some we're seeing grow up, go to college. Some of them stumbling, some of them doing amazing, but it's a great program. We're very, very happy with it.
You've been pastor there since 1990.
Yes, I have. I started when I was 4 years old.
And you're younger than me. I'm 40. Well, anyway, we won't get into that. But you have been there since 1990. Tell us a little bit about yourself before 1990 and some of the changes that you've seen on Staten Island and in your church since then.
Before 1990, I was the associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church in Blacksburg, Virginia. Worked with the college and career there. But before that, in attending Liberty University, I had come up for two summers and worked on the upper west side with a pastor named Tom Harris in his church.
Up in Washington Heights.
Washington Heights.
Hood.
Your hood. I knocked on almost every door in the upper part of that near Dykeman Parks, every door. But I worked there for two summers, and I really thought, you know, unless God wants me to go abroad, this would be the greatest mission field. So God, please let me come back here.
What years were you in Washington Heights?
I was in Washington Heights 1980, summer of 80 and summer of 81.
Those were tough years in Washington Heights.
They were tough years. I can remember going into Dykeman Park late at night to share our faith with people and witnessing to a drug dealer, not a big time guy, he was selling marijuana, selling nickel bags. And I'll tell you, I walked out of the park and I think I was a little bit high.
Oh, just it was, from breathing the
from
air.
Breathing the air in Washington Heights in that park. But they were tough times, murders in the park and stuff like that. But it really, I cut my teeth on that, on sharing my faith on the streets there, talking about Christ on the streets there and in the apartments there. And, you know, here's the crazy thing, Steve. I'm sitting in Cuba about 4 weeks ago, and I'm sitting in an apartment with the Gospel of John talking about Jesus. And somebody's translating it from English to Spanish. And, you know, that's what I was doing in Washington Heights in 1980. Wow. I was in apartments with Gospels of John, somebody translating, a girl named Belkis for me, as I shared Christ with the Dominican population that was huge that time. Still is, I think. So it was kind of an, whoa, I've been here before, really. but it was wonderful. But then I came here, came to Staten Island, God giving me, I think, my heart's desire to be back in the city. And, you know, Staten Island has changed in that it's a much more populated area now than when I came. I think when I came, the population was just a bit above 380 to 400,000. And now it's clearly over 500,000. I don't know what the census would actually tell you, but it's much larger than that. So, and it's much more diverse than that. We've the Albanian community is burgeoning on Staten Island. The Russian community is burgeoning on Staten Island. Beyond that, Staten Island is the home to more Sri Lankans than any other place than Sri Lanka. The Mexican community is huge. We're attempting to plant a Mexican congregation within our own, just because of the needs. So there's a lot of changes, a lot of stuff going. But for somebody who's, I think of myself as a missionary. I know I'm in the States, but I think of myself that way. I've been dropped down into a part of the world that I didn't grow up in. I grew up a country boy in Western Massachusetts. So I'm a bit of a missionary. So for me, you know, all the changes and all the diversity is a healthy thing that allows me to reach more people for Christ.
Well, and I have to say that I think the fact that you do that you broadcast your service live, your worship live, is kind of mission work, but in your own backyard.
Yes,
you know, and maybe some folks will view this as a plug for WMCA, but so be it. That's what a radio ministry can do. It's if you think about it as mission work. But local mission work. And it's I commend you and bless you that you go to Cuba, but I like the emphasis that you have on a local basis. Staten Island, I've been there so many times since we first met. I'll tell our listeners it had been so long since I'd been to Staten Island that when I got to the Staten Island Ferry Terminal, I was looking around, finally went up to a security guard and said, "Well, where do I pay?" and he said, "No, it's free." So, but since then, you know, 3 years ago, I've been to Staten Island quite a bit. And just driving through the island, you see the diversity from one tip to the other.
Yes.
And certainly I know that the island has its challenges these days.
Very much so. You know, we will continue to struggle a little bit with reference to some of the ethnic relationships. But right now what really we're hurting with is both gang violence, gang on gang, and the opiate addiction is great. You know, I've been there long enough to bury, you know, a number of young men, not young women, but young men, who've succumbed to their addiction. Almost every one of them, the story beforehand was, you know, he was doing better or he was making progress, and it's incredibly painful to hold the hand of a mom or hold the hand of a wife as they say goodbye to someone who didn't need to pass away. And it's a huge problem on our island right now. We're trying to address in the Bible Institute that I'm privileged to be the president of. We actually have a 12-step recovery program class. So you actually learn to life coach 12-step recovery, because it's just, you know, 12-step recovery is great, but without Christ in it, it's only a temporary fix.
Of course.
So we seek to train folks so that they can do that and do it well for the glory of God and to minister to folks on our island.
I wanted to talk about the Bible Institute, so you brought it up. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, we have a unique opportunity. I taught for 20 years at New York School of the Bible here at Manhattan at Calvary Baptist Church, and always had trouble getting Staten Islanders to come over. So a little over 5 years ago, we founded the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. It's on the campus of our church. We have a well-trained staff. All of them have master's degrees, and we teach classes in Bible survey, theology survey. That's our core courses. But then we go beyond that. We have counseling classes. We have life coaching classes. We have leadership classes. We have world religion classes. We have Christian life and witness classes. It's all, I wouldn't say it's cheap, but it's inexpensive comparatively. It's all taught by folks who know what they're doing. And it's designed to make a difference in training, not just the people that I pastor, but people who are within, you know, driving distance of our church, whether it be Jersey or somewhere else on Staten Island, even Brooklyn, train them in the Word of God, train them in a skill set so they can be better used for the kingdom and they can make a difference. You know, there are really three types of people in the world: the people who, you know, make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who say, "What happened?" We would like to help the Christian community make things happen. What our world really needs more than anything else is Christ. And God's people being trained to share Christ and being equipped to do ministry is our heartbeat.
Amen. How does someone get in touch with the Bible Institute?
Well, you can go to nyibs.net, nyibs.net. Look at our website, look at our offerings, see what we have going on, and then make a call to register. The phone number's there, and see if you'd be interested in that. We would love to have them. Or you can just call the church office, 718-720-5390. 718-720-5390, and someone will put you in touch.
Yeah, that's great. You, I know Christmas is a special time for you.
Yeah, very much so.
You've got, well, as it is on a Christian station like WMCA.
Amen.
But seriously, you have a lot of activities coming up in December.
We do. December 9th, which is a Saturday, is our ladies' Christmas. This year they call it a brunch, and it's going to run from 10:30 to 1. And that's just for ladies. But they do a tremendous job, and their theme is Christmas around the world this year. And then the next day, about 10 years ago, we noticed that Mariners Harbor did not have a Christmas tree lighting. So we initiated the annual Mariners Harbor Christmas tree lighting. So there'll be a Christmas tree lighting right out inside in front of the church with a big tree and neighborhood kids singing, local band playing. It's a great event, and we invite local politicians as well as local dignitaries come on out, and just, it's an old-fashioned Christmas tree lighting, and afterwards we go in and give out a ton of stuff to the families and all. And it, for your listeners, this is the last weekend of Operation Christmas Child, and that's an important weekend. The collection days are Sunday and even into Monday of this week, so we encourage folks to be involved in that as well.
That's great. Pastor Dave Watson, it's always a pleasure and a blessing speaking with you.
Thanks so much for having me, and hey, stay tuned. We're on next.
Live. But Pastor Dave is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information on everything that we've talked about today, visit their website, calvarychapelsi.org, or call them, as he said, 718-720-5390. A blessing to have you here, Pastor Dave.
Thank you, Steve.
And stay tuned. Coming up is a special message from Pastor Dave. And right after that, live from Calvary Chapel, right here on AM 570 The Mission, WMCA.
We now return with our Church of the Week's message for today on AM 570, The Mission, WMCA.
As we conclude our series on transformation, we come to the simplest yet the most profound of changes through the change of one's heart in Christ. We are speaking today about appreciation, the grateful heart. Today our goal is to understand the core of our thanksgiving, know that we are to be characterized by thanksgiving, and realize that we should be the cause of thanksgiving in others. We do this all in preparation for Thanksgiving, but in reality, we ought to have thanksgiving as a way of life. And we'll find what we're going to look at today all in one book of the Bible, Paul's letter
to the Colossians. Our transformation is not complete without a grateful heart, without appreciation. I am confident that these scriptures will lead us all to some serious T-bowing. But let's begin with our maximum impact statement. Remember what we said? Individually, let's read it together. That would be fun. Individually and as a church family, we strive to be a people who are experiencing such a powerful walk with God that it radically impacts our lives, the lives of those around us, and ultimately our community, our city, our culture, and our cosmos or world. In this series, we've looked at salvation, the new heart, cooperation, the willing heart, consecration, the surrendered heart, construction, the open heart, submission, the devoted heart, confession, the cleansed heart, restoration, the transforming heart, and this week, appreciation, the grateful heart. If you have a Bible, please turn to Colossians because we're going to spend all of our time there. If I'm going to be transformed, if I'm going to be different, I should seek to possess a core of thanksgiving. A what? A core of thanksgiving. That is, inside of me, I must be genuinely thankful. Let's look at the definition of thanksgiving. The Greek word in the New Testament was written in what language? Greek. The New Testament word for giving thanks and thanksgiving are eucharisteo and eucharistia. If you are from a Catholic background, you recognize those words as relating to the Eucharist. These words basically mean to express gratitude and to be thankful. The root of these words is charis. Watch. See the Greek word eucharistia and eucharisteo? See that word inside of it? It's grace. And grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor. What do you get to get God's grace? Nothing. But what if I'm real good and I'm like the most friendly person in the world? Congratulations, that didn't give you God's grace. What if I help 763 little old ladies across the street? You'd probably get arrested for doing that. Someone will check you out and say, what are you doing? But it's not a means to getting grace. Grace is absolutely free. Only those who grasp the grace of God can be truly thankful. It also follows that the more I understand of God's grace, the more thankful I will be. If I do not understand grace, I will think that I have to do something or that what I have done has brought the blessing of God in my life. I'm saved. Why? Oh, it's the grace of God and I'm good. No. God's salvation upon you and I is by grace, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Everything I experience of God is of grace. None of it is deserved. None of it. Did you breathe today? If you can't answer that question, you know, raise your hand if you can, and we'll call 911. The very breath I take, right, is because of God's grace. The very breath I take is because of God's grace. This word grace is used 55 times in the New Testament. Its direction, almost every time that grace is used, it's used in, or thanksgiving is used, it's used in direction toward God and more specifically toward God the Father. Thanksgiving goes toward God first and foremost. Its root is grace. And as I give thanks to God first and foremost. Its depth, it cannot be overdone or overstated. Now, Thursday, you can eat too much food. Do I have a witness? I can eat too much turkey. I can eat too much stuffing. I can have too many pies. All of that. But I can't overthank God. I can't overthank God with thanksgiving. It just doesn't happen. Now, having found that the core of thanksgiving is grace, and that to experience God's grace means I got what I got not because I deserved it, but because it was freely given to me. If I'm going to be a transformed person, I should also be characterized or seek to be characterized by thanksgiving. We're going to look at a bunch of verses in Colossians, all having to do with us being transformed and changed. And every one of those verses is going to speak to the need to be thankful. Are you ready? As we read Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, we are reminded that I should want to be fully pleasing to the Lord through being joyfully thankful. Now you say, what do you mean joyfully thankful? Well, I want to make a little confession today. Sometimes I can say I'm thankful, but I don't have a whole lot of joy in it. I go, oh yes, I'm thankful. Thank you, God, for those trials. Thank you. Or I can be a little sarcastic, so, you know, thank you for, you know, that's great. Thanks. What God would want us to be is to be joyfully thankful. Now, if you look at this verse, you'll see at the very end, it says, with joy, we are to be giving thanks to the Father. Let's look at the whole verse because I think it's important for us to note. Paul is talking about what you must do and what I must do to please God. In other words, how can I have God happy with me, as it were? He says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. That's the goal of knowing the will of God, is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. And then it gives us a series of things we can do to fully please Him, by means, as it were, of bearing fruit in every good work. And then by means, as it were, of increasing in the knowledge of God. And then may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. So being strengthened for all endurance and patience. And then I think that next word actually goes with the rest of the sentence. With joy, giving thanks to the Father. Being joyfully thankful. These verses record a prayer for growth by the Apostle Paul for the Colossian believers. He had never seen them, but he's praying for them. And the purpose of being filled with the knowledge of His will is that the readers might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him to the fullest extent. This walk is accomplished by means of bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all might, and with joy giving thanks to the Father. Now, maybe you relate to me and you don't always give thanks joyfully. Because life sometimes stinks. Has anyone ever had a stinky experience in life? Has anyone here ever had a stinky month? We have difficulties, right? We have struggles, and sometimes life becomes overwhelming. How do I give thanks joyfully when all of that is going on? Watch. Look what God has done for us. Give thanks joyfully. And then he speaks of what God has done for us, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And then in this beloved Son, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And remember, it's all by grace. God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, that word for qualified is in the aorist tense, and I know that's a huge for you to know. But what it means is that the action is complete. God is not trying to qualify you. You're not trying to qualify to get to heaven. They did the credit check. Let me tell you, you failed. You had too much sin on your account. You had way too much sin. They came back and said, your score's so low. How low is it? It's lower than a snake's belly in a wagon track. It's low. And you don't qualify. But God has qualified us. God has made us qualified to have the inheritance of eternal life. It is ours, and it's a completed action. What do I need to do? It's done. Is God qualifying me? Is God watching me today and say, now listen, if you're naughty, not nice, you're going to lose your qualification. No, he has qualified us to be an inheritor of the saints in light. I have an inheritance. I was unfit, now I'm fit. I owed too much, but now I am authorized to be an inheritor of the things in heaven. Secondly, God has delivered us out of the domain of darkness. Again, it's the aorist tense, it's the word ruamai, to completely rescue you and I. We were sinking deep in sin, truthfully having a wonderful time. But we were messed up and we were in the clutches of Satan, caught up in his dominion, in his kingdom, and we have been delivered or rescued. Thirdly, he's translated us. And this word translates one of my favorite words in the Bible into the kingdom of his dear son. He has moved us completely from one place to another. We were in the kingdom of darkness. We were in the kingdom of Satan. And he has picked us up, pulled us out of that miry clay and put us in a new position. And now we have a new song, even praise to our God. And how did he do this? In this son of his. And in this son, we have redemption. That word redemption means to be bought, or something is bought on the basis of a payment of a price. How did it happen that I left the kingdom of darkness and came into the kingdom of his dear son? How did it happen that I qualified for the inheritance of the saints in light? He redeemed me. The price was not free, it was his son. And Jesus paid it all with his precious blood. And in this son, we have the forgiveness of sin. Not some of my sin, but all of my sin. How many of you have sinned in the past of your life? How many of you are thinking you might sin today? I'll lay money on it. How many of you think you might sin this week? Yeah, it's going to happen, isn't it? Jesus remits, forgives, washes away all my sin. Listen, man, it's cool we live in America. I'm thankful that we live in America. It's wonderful that we got stuff. It's super that we can sit around a Thanksgiving table with more food than most people in most countries could ever imagine. But I'll tell you what I'm excited about. It's not the food, it's not the possession, it's not even the country, though I'm grateful for it. What I'm greatest, my greatest joy, what I can get excited about is that I have been qualified for an inheritance in heaven, and I am no longer bound in the kingdom of darkness, and I've been brought to the kingdom of light because of the redemption of Christ, and I am a forgiven person. Now that's something to be joyfully thankful for. Secondly, I guess I'm going to go longer than I thought today. I should want to be discipled in the Lord, resulting in being abundantly thankful. Colossians, the next chapter over, says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. You see that word abounding? But note before that, he is talking about how these Colossian believers should walk. They should want to be discipled in the Lord. They should want to grow in their faith in the Lord. And this growth in the end results in them being what? Abundantly thankful. This text teaches the reader to continue to walk in Christ. Now the whole theme of the book of Colossians tells us that Christ is all and all I need. So continue to walk in Christ as all and all you need. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is supreme and sufficient. Having been firmly rooted, that's a picture, an agricultural term. I've been planted. I've been put in the ground correctly, being presently built up, being presently established. And then in this discipleship process, I should be abounding in thanksgiving. abounding in thanksgiving, because I wanted to look cool, I put the Greek word, the Greek phrase up there for you. It has the idea of having the banks overflow with gratitude. Overflow with gratitude. You know what the product of you and I growing as a Christian is? Thanksgiving. You want to know whether you're growing as a Christian or not? Check your Thanksgiving meter. If your gripe outweighs your Thanksgiving, you're not growing. If your attitude is not one of gratitude, that sounds cool, right? Then you're not growing. You're not growing. Oh, I love Jesus. But he's been so good to me. But keep your butt to yourself. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 23, the psalmist David, in talking about his life as a shepherd and really as a sheep. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He goes on to say that in the end, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And then he stops the psalm and he just simply says this, my cup overflows. The experience of the Christian who is walking with the Lord is that their cup overflows. And you say, thank you, thank you, thank you. The difficulty we all face is so much of what we're thankful for is wrapped up in what this world has to offer. Do I have enough money? Is my house big enough? Warm enough? Is my car good enough? All of that. When the real things that we could be thankful for are intangible. Would you trade the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ for anything? No. Would you pray the knowledge that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, you're sure of that for anything? No. How about the joy? How about the love? How about all of those intangibles? I must move on. As we move now to chapter 3, and I know you're following along in your Bibles, I should want to be saturated in the word of the Lord, sharing so as to be corporately thankful. See, thanksgiving is a joyful thankfulness, and that it is a abundant or abundantly thankfulness or being thankful, but there is also the sense of being corporately thankful. When you come to Colossians 3, and I didn't put verse 16 in your bulletin, but verse 15 is, I mean, I didn't put verse 15 in your bulletin, but it's up on the screen. He says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And then he says what? And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Colossians 3:15 speaks of letting Christ's peace dictate what's done in the church, and concludes by commanding in a plural sense for the readers to be what? Thankful. To be thankful. In addition, Christ's word should dwell richly in us and dominate both individuals and the church in all wisdom and teaching by means of admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In the first century, when Paul talked to the Colossians, could he say, turn to Philippians? Could he say, turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke? No. So how did they have the word of Christ dwelling in them richly? Well, through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We have a great advantage over them. But the picture here is that we should be singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord as we're filled with the knowledge or filled with the thoughts of God. As we fill ourselves up with the word, we overflow on each other. The church should be the last place where bitterness, anger, and ingratitude is demonstrated. What should be in the church is thanksgiving. Why? Because we're filled with the word of Christ. It dwells in us richly. And what do? We pour out thanksgiving on one another. Don't get in my way. I'm leaking thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Thus, hearts filled with thanksgiving will be a blessing to others. In verse 17, He says that basically I should want to be honoring to the name of the Lord, choosing to be intentionally thankful. Verse 17 concludes this section, and it says, whatever you do, in word or deed. Now, what does whatever mean? Whatever. In word or deed, that pretty much carries just about everything, right? Do everything in the name of who? Lord Jesus. So who do we do everything we do for? Jesus. Whose name do we represent as we do everything? Jesus. These boxes will be taken all over the world. You know whose name they'll be taken in? Jesus' name. But every deed that we do, whether it be giving out turkeys on Thanksgiving, everything we do it in the name of who? Jesus. But as we're doing it, we choose to do something else, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We do what we do in His name and for His name. Our Lord is our motivation. Through Him. This means that He gives the perspective, the power, and the reason for thanksgiving. In general, our prayers are to the Father through the Son and in the Spirit. But it's important for us to remember that Jesus gives us the perspective, the power, and the reason for thanksgiving. And whatever I do in life as a transformed person, I do it for Him with thanksgiving. I do it for Him with thanksgiving. Who do I do it? Do it for Him. Paul Schooling has joined us here at Calvary, and I can still remember, Paul may not remember, back in the day, we were helping with the Billy Graham crusade, and they wanted us to carry, or wanted us to hand out flyers at the ferry terminal. And before the ferry terminal had nice, you know, parking, it was all stones. And Paul and I parked, I don't know why, in the very, very end of the ferry terminal. And we had to run to get to the place that we had to be to get to the other side to give out Billy Graham flyers, which wasn't the big problem. The big problem is we were carrying box literature. And we were the persons carrying the boxes, so we had to get to the ferry to give them out on the other side. So Paul and I were running with boxes over the dirt and the stones of the ferry terminal parking lot. And I looked at Paul and I said, Paul, there's only one person I would do this for, and it's not you. What we do for who? Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for Church of the Week. Tune in again next Sunday at 3 p.m. Telling the world about the love of Christ is a church's mission. Empowering that church is ours. If you would like more information on Church of the Week, contact Steve at 212-857-9677. That's 212-857-9677.